Come, let us worship the Lord. Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. We are privileged today to have our good friend, Pastor Jack Van Dyken, with us for the celebration of the 23rd anniversary of the founding of Bethel Baptist Church. And I say we are privileged. Many of you know Pastor Van Dyken's background and history, but it would suffice to say that Colonel and Pastor Jack Van Dyken is a hero of this country and a hero, in my view, of the gospel. His message, Pastor Van Dyken's message, is titled God's Magnificent House. Our anniversary luncheon will be at the Morgan Hill Civic Center directly following the service. All other activities normally scheduled for this afternoon will be canceled. Just like to bring your attention, you may have this. I'm not sure all the inserts had it. If you don't have a copy of this and you'd like it, you might ask the ushers. It concerns the men's Bible study. There are two sessions beginning the second Tuesday of each month, starting October 11th, meeting here at Bethel Baptist Church. Second session, first Monday of each month, starting Monday, November 7th, which will meet at 7 p.m. also at the Laurel House. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 13, Praise Ye the Lord, the Almighty. Continue our worship with hymn number 36, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Oh,
you please stand now as we sing hymn number 186, The Church's One Foundation.
Just before prayer this morning, I'd like you to know that in your insert, there are two letters, one from missionary Eusebio Perez and the other from missionary Martha Poretti. And there are some pictures right here on the back of my trip to Argentina and the visit on the rehabilitation center that you can enjoy and see. Let's pray together. Father, we have come a long way from the first day that we step into a bank room and start our church. Six families we were together, and we enjoy that service and the hope that the mighty God of heaven will bring the people in, and we will teach the gospel. Lord, we are grateful that, as the Bible said, the gospel is the power of God. We can confirm in our own church, in our ministry over the radio from the very beginning and over the internet. And we are a debtor to you, O God, for your mercy and for your grace and for your power. We are a debtor to those who have come and helped us and worked with us with only one motivation, that the people of the world may know that there is a God, and that God has a mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the only way to reach our Almighty God is through Him and Him alone. Thank you, Father, for the success, because you are a God of success. And now, Father, as we celebrate our 23rd anniversary, we look forward for many, many, many years ahead. And today, not only we do the celebration, but also we have the great honor to prepare ourselves for the future, as later on one of our own want to be ordained into the ministry of the gospel. We are grateful, Father, for your provision and all the means of our church, even in the spiritual arena. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for helping us to obey you and to see that you are a God of mercy and love and care. Now, Father, we have missionaries, and I have received letters and calls from them. They're all over the world. Fred and Carol Lewis recovering in Oregon from sickness. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, Spain. David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendaño in Guatemala. Martha Poretti in Buenos Aires, South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Motorsport Ministry. Thank you, Lord, that when we started, we have no missionaries. And now we have these men and women who have a mind, and the mind is to bring to others the good news that there is salvation in Christ Jesus, that there is peace and joy in Christ Jesus. Now, Father, bless this service and bless our great friend, Pastor Jack Van Dyken. He has been a companion of myself and in the church. He has been a man faithful to you in the ministry and in the Army and the Air Force as he served as a chaplain. And so, Father, we are grateful and honored to have him with us and be part of our celebration. Lord, bless the choir. The choir will sing praises to your name. Bless our brother will read the scripture. And Lord, bless the offering, bless the giver, and gave us again the confidence and the trust that you will supply all the way to the end. This we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided for you in the pew, please turn to page 572. We will be reading Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that for your great mercy and love in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to shed his own blood for our sins. We thank you for the gift of faith which you graciously bestowed upon us so that we might believe all that is written in the Bible and that we have believed the gospel and followed Jesus. We thank you that you have adopted us into your family and called us your own. You have removed our pollution and clothed us with the righteousness of Christ. We pray now, Father, for your servant, Pastor Jack Van Dyken. Bless him and his words as he comes to deliver the good news from the Scriptures. May we gain further insight into your greatness. We also pray for those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD. May they also be blessed by the teaching from your word. And if any do not know you, we pray that they would come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
It is a great honor for me to introduce to you our friend. I've been here in our church for many years. Pastor Van Dyken has worked with me in conference and in different places. He's a veteran from the Air Force, Army they call it at that time, because you're an old man. Okay, come in here. All right. Welcome and God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay.
What a privilege it is to be able to be in this wonderful church. I'm going to be bringing a message to you which is going to speak about the church. I must say that in the study, and we as pastors, of course, study quite extensively before we try to produce a message for God's people. And in studying this particular scripture, I found that there were so many scriptures which spoke about the church of Jesus Christ. And today we're so much interested in this, and you shall notice many scriptures that I will be referring to. And I want to add one scripture that I'd like to read at this time, and that's from Psalm 84, 1 through 5 and 10. "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are in thy ways. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of righteousness, wickedness. This is a marvelous part of God's word. The psalmist tells us what each one of us would like to bring out from our heart. And so when we read God's word, we are thrilled with it. As we look at our message, God's Magnificent House, I'd like to have you think of three special points. First of all, Christ is the builder of that church. Second, God's church belongs to you. And third, we are co-workers with God. The first thing I would say to the congregation is, congratulations, congregation. You have been invited to the magnificent church of God. Our church is a church which specializes in producing the word of God to God's people. And you are a special part of that magnificent church. We read in the 84th Psalm that the Lord is in his holy temple. And that shall be the theme of what we are going to be talking about today. And it's so important. We note that Paul calls this church also, if we read in 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, 17th verse, he calls it, the church is the temple of God. And I want you to think about this because we're going to talk about that. And the scripture says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Paul is talking about the church. This church. That's what Paul is talking about right here. We think of us church and we think of it as a building. But it's more than that. It's a wonderful place where God's people and God's people are the church. We need to know that. We read in parts of scripture, it says, and we use this as a postscript, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent for him. Let me repeat that again. That's from Habakkuk of the Old Testament. The Lord in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent. God speaking here. And when God speaks that way, he says, everybody be quiet. This is God's house. God will speak. And the next part, I say with carefulness, because as I've studied this, I thought, how can I say this? But when God speaks, he uses human beings. He uses a pastor. The pastor is the one that speaks for God. It's a frightening thing when you think of this, that God says, everyone be quiet. I'm going to speak. And then, of all things, a human being, he gives to bring that glorious message. And what a wonderful thought that is. And we're going to look at that, too, as we look at this. But I want to bring one other thing through your mind. You know who else brings this message? You've just heard it a few moments ago. The choir. The choir. And you know, when I say that, then I say, well, the choir directors, of course, have another great responsibility. Will this song speak of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Will this song glorify him? Will this song bring people to an understanding and the love of Jesus Christ? It's wonderful when we come to that and realize that. But when the word of God says for us, the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him. There's something else here. The speaker, as we just spoke of, and the speaker through the music. But there is the listener. You see, each one of us is responsible when we come to God's house. The speaker to bring God's word. And that's why, as I say it, it's frightening to me as I study God's word. How can I say it? I'm supposed to talk for God. And that's a tremendous thing. And so we stick so much as we possibly can to Scripture, because that's God's word. And so we bring it in that manner. But It comes to you then as listeners. And what about you? You don't think about other things while you're in God's house. You don't think about what has to be done tomorrow or what you didn't do yesterday. You don't think about other things, not about the person next to you or anyone else. You're thinking about what God expects of you. And that's why that message that God brings through, whether it's the pastor or through the singing or whatever way it is, you and I are responsible. What do we do with that? God is speaking. And again, I say it, I hesitate to even say this, but God is speaking. What are you going to do about it? And that, of course, is something that really shocks us when we think about this, because this is God's temple. This is God's house. It's our house in a certain sense, but this is where God is right now. Right now, God is here. That's hard for us to understand. The church is an important part of all of our life. The church is a builder for God. We read also, and I say unto thee, upon this rock I will build my church. There have been some wrong interpretations of this. The Roman Catholic Church says, well, it says that the church is going to be built on Simon Peter. That isn't what it says at all. It only uses the fact that there is a rock. And what is that rock? It's not Simon Peter. No. Jesus said, after Simon Peter gave the explanation, when he said, whom say men that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the crux of what the message of God's salvation is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as we just said, Peter didn't just say that. He said, Jesus said, God said that to you. A man couldn't realize that fully. The church is built on a rock. And this is what this church has been in. What a terrific foundation. Providing we really know what that rock is. It is solid. It is Jesus Christ. And that's what the church is. It's not people outside in the world. No, it's you who love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of the church. It's found, of course, in the preaching of the word. It must always be Christ-centered. It must always be for the idea that we may talk to those who are the saved, that we may have them find in their own heart the joy of salvation, and to the unsaved, the hope, the only hope in life and in death, and that is come to know Jesus Christ. What a wonderful assurance this is. You don't have to worry about the future of the church as long as it's built on the rock. And that's the word of God. That's so wonderful that we have that particular thing. That's the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a beautiful explanation. And it came straight from God to Peter. And that's what we are so thrilled about. And so Scripture also tells us, and Paul speaks about this, that not only that glorious message of salvation, but along with that comes a whole group of those who are God's people. And he starts right away with Adam and Eve and all those. And he names a large group of that. And then it comes down to us here in this church. Where is the background? Well, of course, there's Pastor and Raquel Otero, Doctrine, and Mrs. Lee McCormick, Bob and Alta Holcomb, Ed and Jenny Riley, Don and June Sherwood, Russ and Linda Goodman, Jack and Mary Kazanian, Ed and Fanny Cassidy. Isn't that wonderful? The church is built on people such as that, under God, under Jesus Christ. Of course, once we say that, we realize that we have placed a tremendous amount of that which is necessary for each one of us to realize, and that is a responsibility. If we are part of that church, we have a responsibility. So you see, the church is a great and wonderful institution. Oh, this building is a lovely building. We've been using this for quite some time. I know, I think I was here for the 20th anniversary. I know the 21st and the 22nd and now the 23rd. May I be able to, for you, have the next 22? I don't think so. But anyway, it's wonderful that God can give us these marvelous and wonderful things. We read in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people. It's talking about you. You, God's people, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, belonging to God. What a privilege. The church is the people, are the people of God, and that's that marvelous thing. And he knows you. And he knows you so much that he not only has said that you are his people, but he's turning the church over to you. That, what a privilege. The church belongs to you. It's not an unknown commodity. It's God's people. This church belongs to you. And that again comes to us as a tremendous responsibility when we think of that, that the church belongs to us. It's a privilege, of course, but it tells us that we, as God's people, have a job to do. We must be workers in that kingdom. We must be able to tell others about Jesus Christ, to teach a class in Sunday school, to support another teaching group, to show your love for the church through your financial support. The church belongs to you. And what a privilege that is. The church belongs to Jesus Christ, but it belongs also to you. And when we think of that, then we realize that we have a great responsibility. And so we find that when we look at God's word, we realize that God has given unto us not only this great privilege, but he's given unto us a love for one another. That in itself is a marvelous and wonderful thing. We love the Lord, but we love his people also, because his people are part of that church, and we are part of that church. And I've said this to you before, that so often when I go through some of the stores where I shop, and I see a little mother or a father with a baby, and I look at that little baby and I say, oh, what a darling little child that is. And of course, the mothers and dads always love that. I never touch them, you know, you got to be careful. And but then I say, you know, do you bring the baby to church? And sometimes a face lights up. Oh, yes, we brought our children, our baby to church, and we tell them, we'll tell her all about it. Or if they say no, I'll say, oh, but you've got a responsibility to God. That child will not know about Jesus Christ unless you tell him. And so I leave them with that and go my way and let them do the thinking about it. But they must know that as God's people, that they have a tremendous responsibility. And you and I also have that responsibility. I remember that while I was in seminary, we were asked that we should have a special type of evangelism that we can have. So two of us decided that we were going to do that. And what we did was we took my friend's, he was one of the other students, pickup truck, and we put various things in it. I was somewhat accustomed to working on a car and so on. And when we would drive places, we'd see a car parked. And if it was a lady, doubly so, we stopped and said, can we change your tire for you, or what's wrong with your car? And they say, "Oh, well, that's nice." And we always had one of the big jacks we could put under it, and we'd jack him up, and in 2 minutes we'd have it done. But then they said, "Well, how much do you want?" "Not a thing. We belong to the church, and we just want to invite you to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior." Well, let me tell you that when we gave our report to our class, the teacher said, "Well, that's a good thing to do, but how are you going to keep that up the rest of your life?" And I said, "Well, we'd like to, and we should, but there are other ways too." Our wives at that time, most of us were married when we were in seminary. Our wives said, "Well, we'll do something too." And my wife, who was a real good baker, she can bake, and we lived at that time in a big building there. All of the future preachers were living in that building. It was over 100 of them in that huge building with their wives and families, and some of them families. But when my wife started baking real good buns, you could smell it a long ways away in that building. And some of the people would say, "Henrietta, are you a baker?" "Oh, yes." Well, the thing is that there were many people in that building that were not from the seminary. They were just everyday people. And my wife and the other preacher's wife would go to all of these different places and knock on the door. "Did you smell our baked goods?" "Oh, yeah. Well, here's six of them, six buns." "Oh, thank you so much. How much?" "Nothing." And they had an opportunity to talk to Jesus Christ. The wonderful thing is that when we gave our evaluation, and the ladies did too, the ladies outdid us, because they said, "We know that two of the ones that we gave buns to, of about 15, 20 different ones, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ." And we were thankful that we had wives that could bake. But the thing is this, we need to know, what is your plan? What is your plan as a child of God? God has turned the church over to you from the viewpoint that you will serve him. We ask the question, "Well, what is that rock?" Well, the rock is that testimony that Peter gave. And it was qualified, and it was stamped with the highest approval when Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, Peter." Don't give Peter the credit for that. Flesh and blood hath not, but it's what heaven itself was saying. This Jesus Christ that you are serving, he is the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the one who rules the church. And you and I are part of that glorious, wonderful church. Well, when we come to think about that, we long for the opportunity to be as God's people. And that is, as Psalm 84 says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh crieth out for the living God." This church is a church of Jesus Christ. Because this church stands on the rock, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is what you are taught here. This is why this church has a future. This is why the church has succeeded. This is why the church sends out missionaries. This is why the church calls each one of us to realize that God has given us a magnificent church, because this church is where Jesus dwells. He's here right now. Did you ever think of that? Jesus is here right now. And that, of course, makes us very careful what we're thinking about while here, and also very careful about what tomorrow may bring. Our church is not just a building. Our Lord Jesus meets us here. So we come to a magnificent church. And when you come, fellow Christian, pause. Just pause for a moment. Look for him. Look for Jesus. He's here. And listen for him. He's here because he said this is his holy temple. What a wonderful church we have. What a magnificent church we have. Because who's here with us? Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is. This is the Church of Christ. This is the 23rd year. And we thank God for the privilege of being able to extend this, that this may continue to be not only the Church of Jesus Christ, but each one of us finding a job as an evangelist within the church to do God's will. God grant that each one of us may say, Lord, thank you for letting me be in your church. Thank you for letting me be part of the church. Thank you, Lord, that the church continues with your blessing. Amen. Our Father in heaven, what a wonderful church you have given us. It's not a church that tries to outdo other churches. It's a church that just brings the simplicity and the beauty of the Word of God. And we thank thee, our Father, that that is the basis and that is the reason why this church has been a church to thy glory and praise. We thank thee, Lord, for each of all of those who are the workers. We thank thee for the past. We look forward to the future. We thank you for our pastor, how he so wonderfully has guided us these many years without any hope for things which are temporal, but only for things which are everlasting, eternal. Wilt thou continue to bless him and his wife and bless thy church to thy name's honor, glory, and praise, now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies, for the opportunity to praise the Lord and complete the service. I want to explain to you from the scripture what is going to take place now. If you turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 1, in verse 1, you find an instruction or a reference that historically gave us the opportunity to understand what is taking place in our church. This is the second time, by the way, that our church has ordained a minister into the ministry. And we like to report the great success that the person that we ordained after the church was about 3 years old is now a doctor in ministries and is a successful pastor in the city of San Francisco. His name is Alberto Ruiz. In Philippians, the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Philippi. Philippi is a city in Asia Minor. And he, in chapter 1, verse 1, said these words, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, what the pastor was talking about, the church are the people, to the saints who are at Philippi, the people. And then he added, and here's a Greek word, bishops, that's the way you pronounce it in Greek, that is the word pastor. And look, the word again is in plural, and deacons in plural. I want you to know this. In our church, we're very careful to look in every word. It's singular, it's plural, it's in the present, the past, or the future. So a church should have more than one pastor. And the church of Philippi is approved, pastors and deacons. If you move your Bible to the right, to 1 Timothy, you will find that there are some qualifications, and they are in three or four places in the Bible, but to make it briefly, I will read it for you in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It is very important that you understand that here are the qualifications, here are one listing of qualifications that the apostle presented for the church. The apostle said in verse 1 in chapter 3, this is a true saying, he said. If a man desire the office of a bishop, 1 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1. If he desire the office of a bishop, of a pastor, again the Greek word bishop, pastor, he desire a good work. You are not wrong. Each time I read that verse, reminds me 40 years ago when I wrote back to my country and I said I'm going to leave my profession and go into the ministry. And my aunt said to me in a letter, but there is no money in the ministry. That's the way people sometimes think. I looked at my members, yes, there is money in the ministry. But not in the way that she meant it. If a man desire to be a pastor, he desire a kalos, something good, in Greek said, super good, super good. Then, verse 2, here are the qualifications of a pastor. Verse 2, 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless. That means if I go around to put gasoline in my car and somebody come to me and say, do you know Brother Greg Thompson? I say, yes, sir. I say, will you please tell him to come and pay the thing that bills here are there and he never pay? Boy, my little hair will stand, all right? Requires personal qualification, blameless. Look at this. Number one, blameless. Number two, the husband. How many wives? One wife. One wife. Some people said, well, I can get divorced and remarry. Very sorry, in the state of California, you could. But not in the Bible. Your first wife will be your first wife forever, said the Bible, till she die or you die. So here are the qualifications. Husband of one wife, vigilant, meaning he watch over himself, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. No given to wine. The pastor cannot drink. The members can drink wine, but not the pastor. No striker. No greedy or filthy look. By patient. No brawler. No covetous. One that ruleth well his own house. One who has his house in order. Having his children in subjection in all gravity. About 2.5 years ago, I noticed in the life of Greg Tomlinson a great desire to serve. The first thing that you will notice in Greg Tomlinson in this church is hospitality. He and Maria are exceptional. And I had the honor that one day they walk here in prayer meeting and they stay in our church. I sit with him, being an engineer, talking to him. And he had thus the ability to reason in the scripture. So, as I do always, I give jobs to people and I watch it from the back, what they do. Maybe I made a mistake. Okay, this is not his job. Then I correct it. And little by little, 6 months went by and I said, Brother Greg, have you ever thought being in the ministry and being a pastor? Talk over with your wife. I talked with my wife and was 15 years delay before my wife say it's okay. When you are married, you are one. That means you and your wife have to agree. And if your wife disagrees, you stop. Doesn't mean you overrule your wife. The two have to have the same thought. That's what the Bible said. That's wonderful. That man stopped you right on your brakes, all right? And Brother Greg said, yes, Pastor, we are considering this. I said, well, let's look for resources. Remember what we read, apt to teach, to be a teacher. In order to be a teacher, you need to learn first, to be informed. So he said, let's see if my seminary has some extensions or something. I don't want you to do quick work. And thus happened that the seminary in Los Gastos Christian Church have an extension. It's going to take a longer place to graduate, but you're going to be studying. And so I throw the idea to see his heart. I said, what do you think? And he went to the seminary. He did all the research. And one day I'm signing for him the admission to the seminary as a recommendation as a student. And then I said, from time to time, you let me know how the subjects go so I can watch his grades and watch his studies. The word pastor means an overseer, somebody who looked from the top to help, not to judge somebody, but to help. And I, brother, I share every book I have. I start bringing books to my library and say, you just walk in here, you just excel in studies and do anything you want to. Ask me anything you think is crazy, you think it maybe is too simple. Nothing is simple. You just ask me. And he did. So a year ago, I said, Brother, I have an assignment for you. I want you to produce a 400-pages paper on these 10 questions I give you. Take a year to do it. And when you are ready to answer, I'm going to make a booklet, pass it to my deacons and myself. Take a good week to read it and to see if you have a good mind in the things of God. So 6 months go by, and the paper was not even a question about it. I said, Brother Greg, the paper. He said, oh, yeah, Brother Pastor, you know, I have these. I know you're married. I know you have children. I know all these. But the paper, like my professor in the seminary. 3 months ago, the paper. The paper came through. Are we deacons happy? Are we deacons happy? They were shocked at how excelled
and the concepts of what he wrote. I asked him, who is God? I asked him, who is Jesus? I asked him, who is the Holy Spirit? I asked him, what are you going to do if you're a pastor? I asked him deep, profound questions, very practical, so that we know. And he passed the examination. Not only in writing, which is easy to pass. You know, my seminary used to have false and true questions. Now, if you went to school and you studied mathematics, you know you have 50% already, all right? Then the other 50%, if you add and subtract, and you don't use American numbers to 9 and use to 6 like Germans and like the calculator you use, they only go 1 to 6, then you get 25% like that. So when I went to exam, I just take 10 minutes and I finish. And my professor Schaefer would say, do it again thinking, will you? Not mathematically. I have found, and the church have found through the board of deacons, they have Brother Greg Tomlinson qualifies into the ministry. He will have 7 more years of studies in the seminary, or 8 years. And by that time, I'd be an old man like this one. All right? It's okay, no? It's okay. And what rest, my wife and I rest is, our work has not been in vain. This church is not built upon Pastor Otero. These churches are built upon Jesus Christ. And somebody else who loves the Lord Jesus, who with passion loves people, will take the ministry another step until the Lord comes. So Pastor Thompson, will you stand right here in front of me, and I'm going to read for you what Dr. Laverne Schaefer read to me in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is not my charge, but it's the charge of God. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul wrote to Timothy and ordained him as a pastor of his church. Can you imagine taking the church, the Apostle Paul, was a pastor for 2 years in Asia Minor in Ephesus. The second pastor was a young man, 21 years old, Timothy. What did he say to him? Here is what he said. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. That means patience and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Hear this, Brother Greg. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of the ministry. I want to ask the deacons to come as our brother Greg will kneel right here in front of us, and the deacons to come here together, and Pastor Van Dyken will proceed with the benediction after this. Will come and take their place for their son. Will Pastor Van Dyken then pray in dedication our Brother Greg Thomas?
Let us pray.
Lord our God, we thank you that you can take us human beings, sinful human beings, and you can mold us into the work of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We thank you, our Father, that you have done this to our brother. We thank you, Lord, that you have touched his heart and his life and his mind, that you've directed him on all these things so that he walks not alone but walks with the Lord. We thank you, our Father, for the zeal that he has, the willingness that he has. We pray, Father, that not only now but through the years that are to come, when he is in the vineyard of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they are ups and downs, may he always remember that he works for the living God and that his is a work which goes on throughout all of eternity. Bless him and his family. Bless our church too as we send him out with our blessing and with our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Congratulations. Now you are a pastor. Here it is for you. Pastor Van Dyken.
Congratulations, pastor to pastor.
All right. Praise the Lord. Let's go in the front. Okay. We will conclude the service today, and we go to the Civic Center right here in town as we are going to do the celebration of the Bethel Baptist. You can greet Brother Tomlinson. Wow.